Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
In association with Viatel Technology Group, IT leaders breathe easy with Viatel Managed Cybersecurity. Viatel.com.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along. Coming up over the next hour, John Riley is going to be here to look at the impact of AI on gaming. Ciara O'Brien will explain the latest headache facing Apple. And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But we're going to start this week with the world of gaming. John Riley of TheEffect.net is with me now. John, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jess?
I'm good. It's been a while since we've spoken, and every single day, different bits of gaming news are popping up in my feed. And it's kind of baffling how the majority of the headlines feature AI. It seems like AI is going to be a real disruptor, whether it's good or bad, I don't know yet, but in the world of gaming.
Well, like we know in general, AI is disrupting almost every industry. So I don't necessarily see why gaming wouldn't really be the next one. If anything, it's probably been using it longer than a lot of other industries. But yeah, it's really coming to a fore now. And unfortunately, I guess from the creativity aspect and of game development, the use of AI, like any other entertainment industry, is seen with a bit of a negative hue because you're taking away jobs, in inverted commas. Or you could be. Again, it's the early days of AI for everything. So its implementation into game development is also in early stages. But, people are seeing it being used for script writing for characters that aren't maybe the lead character, for kind of audio dialogue changing, that you could have someone's voice that would be kind of done with an AI voice, so you wouldn't have to pay voice actors, all these kind of things. It is, so I guess, we had the big writer's strike in America there last year into, I think, maybe early this year. And how that was, there was an AI subcategory to that whole kind of agreement that's, voice actors and actors in general, their likenesses were protected when it came to AI kind of use and replication across kind of various forms of media. So yeah, it's definitely interesting times ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely a disruptor. And I suppose what I'm trying to get my head around at the moment is trying to find the optimistic side to all of this. So as a gamer and as fans of the different games, the different productions, we've spoken so many times about the quality of some of the productions. There's some of the games that you've spoken about that are more akin to, I don't know, like Star Wars franchise movies more so than just titles. So how, when, where and why will AI be used to kick on the gaming offerings, making you, the gaming fan, that bit happier?
Yeah, that's, like, as I said, I think it's been used, like AI in general, again, has been used more than we like to think across industries, and gaming is no different. That, it's just, it becomes the everyday. It's no longer kind of a new and novel experience. But just this week, actually, Game Developer Conference, so right on the money in terms of the people that are kind of implementing these ideas into kind of how games are made, it took place in San Francisco. So GDC, it's known for short, had a number of different showcases happening at the event. And NVIDIA, they're one of the biggest kind of computer graphics card manufacturers, AI data center creators in the world. Their stocks are spiking given their kind of the use of their graphics cards to process these large language models for kind of various AI applications. But in particular, for this game developer conference, they focus on how AI can use for game development. So obviously, so there was a demo showed called Covert Protocol, and this was developed by a company, an AI powered game company or game startup called, let me get this right now, they were called InWorld AI. So these guys showed off this thing called Covert Protocol, and it was like this really futuristic looking hotel lobby with a bar and whatever else you're having. And there was characters dotted around this lobby, like a bartender and a kind of a businessman. But all these guys, their movements, their dialogue, their lip syncing, as in how their face actually moved, everything was done by AI. So that, to imagine a computer is developing something as comprehensive as that, or that AI is developing something as comprehensive as that, is quite unprecedented. But, seeing it in action, it shows you a lot of the pitfalls yet to be covered or to be crossed when it comes to this kind of content being created purely by AI.
Yeah, one of the things that I know you hate when I mention it because I've been bringing it up for about 27 years now, but you remember when Cyberpunks came out, right? And there was all that controversy because it wasn't as polished and ready and there was bugs and all the rest. The gaming community wasn't very forgiving. Now, I know things have moved on and bridges have been built, but in terms of embracing innovative technology in ways that it hasn't been done before, because as you correctly point out, you know, AI has been used for yonks now in the world of gaming. But I suppose, how long before we see this real innovation that will reimagine gaming as a result of artificial intelligence?
I think we're quite a number of years off, because it's never really going to be. There might be a moment where a game will be hailed as the first AI generated game, like the first movie we're going to, you know, Toy Story was the first ever computer generated film. Before that, people didn't think it was possible. So it's only a matter of when. But in terms of the first game being announced as the first AI fully created game, we are a significant amount of time from anything of proper polish and quality to be kind of there. There might be indie titles that will come down the track, smaller titles that will kind of show us the early stages. As I said, the demo was showed off during the week in San Francisco. But I think behind the scenes, as I said earlier, AI has already been used to help kind of tidy up how games are made, kind of the bricks and mortar, the stuff you don't see on the surface. So it is helping with character animations and how they move about environments. To your point, Cyberpunk, now, I think the issue there was AI wasn't where it needed to be to help kind of speed up the process of the, what would you call it, the quality control near the end of the title. I think this game was rushed out, unfortunately, when it was rushed in 2020, and they just didn't have the implementation of AI to kind of be able to kind of clean up a lot of the rough edges of that game. So that is kind of something that they may not, you know, think from the rooftops, these game developers, but behind the scenes, AI might be doing a lot of heavy lifting to help these people along this quality control process and kind of just the background stuff you're never going to see. So I would like to hope it's not only going to help speed up kind of the development of these AAA titles, but also just ensure that they're a much higher quality than the likes of Cyberpunk when it launched. But unfortunately, my pessimistic hat being put on, I think the reason AI is being forced into use or into its being applied to all these different game developer studios is for cost effective measures too, just to kind of cut down on hours being spent by people tidying up a game when AI can do it for next to nothing. So there's a double-edged sword there.
Yeah, there is, particularly as you alluded to at the top, you know, when jobs are at stake. But I do think, you know, like you've told us before about how a game can be in development for years. Like it's not a 6-month project. This is something that takes an awful lot of time. And so from a fan point of view, from a business point of view, from so many different, I suppose, vantage points, the use and the application of AI does make sense.
Yeah, it's an inevitability. It's not going to be implemented. And as I said, it is already happening. Unity is another huge game engine producer, game publisher, even along the same lines of Nvidia or of Unreal, who make Fortnite. So Unity at this event at GDC did publish a kind of an AI report that did show, look at it, is being used. 71%, I think, of studios are using it for this background content. It's going to start to become more apparent, you know, that I think people are using it as a buzzword. You know, this event showcased this video, this tech demo I spoke about, as a kind of a, ooh, look at this AI, isn't this hot topic? Look at these characters talking to me, and nobody wrote that script for that character. And you're like, yeah, I enjoy that it's a proof of concept, but it looks awful. And there's no way, you know, that game does not look good. And the characters are like weirdly robotic, unsurprisingly, because of the content that's been written for them and how their faces are moving. It's almost like I was surprised they showcased this as a kind of a demo, because it did not show its benefits or it's why it would be something you as a developer or any game developer out there would want to go, yeah, that looks like I want to make a game that looks just as bad as that. So yeah. I think it definitely needs a lot more time in the oven. And yeah, like other studios have come out also saying they're using it for NPC dialogue, so non-playable characters, so the guys in the background of your Spider-Man game that are walking down the street or whatever it may be, to kind of, again, write their dialogue, write their movements. But people are like, no, just, you don't need to tell us, basically. It's almost like ignorance is bliss, because you're taking a job away from a script writer, from extras, or from, you know, character extras that would be recorded their voices for those people in the street, whatever it may be. So, yeah, I think companies need to be careful how they are promoting their use of AI, to be honest.
Yeah, and also, if I can just borrow your cynic's hat for a moment, the thing that I've been thinking about is, like, I can see the benefits of it, right? But say if you're a parent and you're the parent of a gamer, you don't necessarily know what characters could come out with, because if it hasn't gone through the same vetting process, or if it is open to interpretation, the ratings that come on games, it's going to create quite a few headaches, I'd imagine.
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah, that's like, because up to this point, for the vast majority of game development, all that dialogue would have been scripted by a human. It would have been, there is headlines that came out over the years of these massive RPG or role-playing games that had, you know, like Grand Theft Auto, that's not an RPG as such, but Grand Theft Auto titles having 100,000 lines of dialogue for all those characters, as you said, walking down the street. But if AI is going to be writing that in the future, that, you know, you'd imagine they're going to be vetted, each line that actually is put into the game as audio. But there's going to be, we're going to see those headlines, to your point, that game is, you know, has racist people in the street, or it's whatever else you're having, something that's going to create a very salacious headline. So the quality control will be, you know, they're going to save money and time in one corner, but then they're going to have to get vetters and people make, you know, quality testing to make sure that the computer, those characters aren't saying something they shouldn't or doing something they shouldn't even. Age rating thing is going to have to be potentially, well, I don't say readjusted, but reevaluated for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I love these little quandaries.
We are at such a turning point with AI. Yeah. So like, yeah, gaming is the biggest entertainment industry in the world. The money that's in there is bonkers and bananas. And to see that AI is being used isn't a shock, but just to make sure it's used the right way is really going to dictate its application into the future.
Yeah. Another way it's rumoured or thought to be used is in the rumoured or thought to be PS5 Pro. What do we know about the PS5 Pro before we get to the AI bits?
Yeah, so it's like it's falling in line with what PlayStation did with the PS4. So that originally launched in 2014 along with the Xbox One. And then about 3 years later in 2016, we got what was called the PS4 Pro. So to general listener, it literally is it's a souped up PlayStation. It's not necessarily going to be a brand, it is a new console per se, but it's in the same family of the PS5 that came out in 2020. So you're not going to get games that are going to be made exclusively for this new console that is rumored to come out later this year. And the rumors are pretty apparent now online, and they're pretty, that a lot of them are being kind of double checked and cross checked. So as much as Sony probably don't want us to be talking about this rumored console for fear that it'll kill their sales up until its official announcement, or sales of the PS4, should I say, or PS5, that, yeah, this new console is going to be a hell of a lot more powerful. Games are going to just look that bit better. Again, me, I'm in my element hearing this kind of thing, but to some general listeners, they'd be like, I just bought the PS5 when it became available 2 years after it launched. There's no way I'm buying a new PS5. So they're going to be up against that kind of quandary of the availability back when the console's launched to what is now 4 years later.
Yeah, and I suppose that is a fair point, because it caused such a hullabaloo at the time. So I'd understand and empathise with that pain point. But the talk of the utilising of AI to make it even better again, like, is it not all right as it is?
I was just thinking about that before I came on this call, and you're absolutely right. The consoles have always been playing catch up, to the PC race, or to the PC generation or PC industry, because if you're a PC gamer, you are upgrading your graphics card almost once a year, which is basically this big honking thing that you stick into the side of your desktop or whatever it may be, to give you the better, more powerful graphics card, so your games can look that bit prettier. So that's like an almost annual cyclical thing. Whereas these consoles, as I said, they're looking, you know, this isn't the first time they've done this mid-gen refresh. As I said, last generation they did it with the PS4 Pro, and then the Xbox Series X, no, the Xbox One X was their jump up. So now here we are with PS5 doing it. It is going to give us better visuals, and AI is really coming to a fore here now. And that's the point I was trying to get to, is that the likes of NVIDIA, who I mentioned showcasing at GDC this week, they are the leaders when it comes to graphics cards for PC gaming. And they've been using AI to help their graphics cards work smarter, not harder, basically. So instead of putting in sheer brute force of processing power, they're using AI to help generate, it's called frame generation. So, you know, people, when people are playing a game, it's usually 30 frames per second or 60 frames per second. And if you're playing it at twice the frame rate, you're getting a smoother, more interactive, more immersive experience, more responsive experience. So the PS5 Pro is looking to deliver that at higher resolution. So AI is going to help to insert these kind of AI generated frames to double your frame rate, quadruple your frame rate, whatever it may be, depending on the title. So you're going to get a much more responsive, much more fluid gaming experience at still 4K resolution, if not 4K higher. 8K has been rumored for this new PS5. So your games are going to look smoother. They're going to look sharper. Ray tracing, I'm not sure if we spoke about in the past. It's a new way of lighting your game. It's like, The lighting within the worlds you're playing in is going to be a hell of a lot more realistic. The shadows, the reflections. I think I spoke about it a while back. Spider-Man, you're swinging around New York with the PS5. You now have all your reflections of all your fancy skyscrapers. Again, you do not need it, but it just makes it that bit more immersive when you are trying to kind of become Spider-Man or become the character you're playing. So yeah, it's just going to be a really powerful PS5. Gives you better graphics.
Okay, and I wonder, and I don't want to be that person, but I will, like, why don't they hold this for a PS6 and just reimagine the entire thing? Like, do we have to go through those long life cycles for each iteration?
I think they just know they're probably losing market share to people that see these new titles that are coming out on PC, on PS5, and on Xbox Series X and S. And people are seeing that the PC has the best visual features, the best frame rate, that they're like, well, we're missing a trick here. We've got a captive audience that love their PS5s, PlayStation fanboys. And we've got our exclusive titles that can only be played on PS5. So let's really force people, not force, but entice people to get the best visuals possible. Not only, again, for their first-party titles, but Grand Theft Auto 5, one of the biggest games that will ever launch this decade, is going to come out next year. And rumors, again, are all they're connecting GTA 5's launch to the PS5 Pro, given that you're probably going to get the best gaming experience on a console if you're playing GTA 5, or GTA 6, should I say, on the PS5 Pro. So there's that kind of, people want to have the best experience possible. Mm-hmm. And Rockstar, more than anyone, is one of the biggest publishers in the world. And they always seem to launch their latest title, which will be GTA 6, on consoles first, with quite an extended delay before it makes its way to PC. So really, it's only going to be a console game next year when it comes out. Everybody in the world is going to want to play it on their console. And if the PS5 Pro is the most powerful one available, that's going to put sales through the roof. So it's all this kind of jumping on bandwagons, offering the best possible visual clarity for people that want it but don't want to be a PC gamer or don't have the games they want to play on PC. It's all that kind of rigmarole as well. So yeah, it's a bit of a funny one.
Oh, okay.
I get your I really do. And a lot of listeners will be like, there's not a chance I'm buying it. I will. That's just, again,
that doesn't surprise me, John. That's not breaking news.
I should have said I wasn't going to buy it. But yeah, let's not be surprised here. Exactly. There's a reason I'm on talking about this like a nerd, that I'm going to be picking up the PS5 Pro if it does launch as it's expected to launch or rumored to be launched later this year. Because I just love when gaming is pushed forward, console gaming in particular, and I get to have the best visuals possible to be immersed as much as possible.
Well, we will, of course, bring you all of the updates and we'll try and capture John's excitement if and when it's announced. If you do have any gaming questions or if there's a title you want us to review, you can email techtalk@newstalk.com. And don't forget, you can go to theeffect.net for all of the gaming reviews as well as other tech news as well. For the moment, John Riley, thanks so much.
Thanks a million, Jess.